It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
They're trying to figure out the Bears quarterback situation. Where will Tom Brady go? A lot of buzz, a lot of rumors, a lot of reports coming out of the NFL Combine. Dan Weider will join us here in about 15 minutes. He spent the week in Indianapolis.
I believe he talked to Coach Nagy recently,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, he sat down with Coach Nagy, and he'll tell us what he said in his one-on-one interview. First, here's the Tom Brady stuff, and then I'll give you a report from an ESPN reporter on what the Bears are looking for, and we'll see who fits that criteria. Here's Jeff Darlington on Tom Brady and all the people who still don't believe that he could be leaving New England.
I feel like we need to have a talk here. Because no matter how many times we say that Tom Brady is likely to not play for the Patriots next year, I either get blasted or told that I am wrong. That makes sense because we cannot wrap our heads around it. There are people very close to Tom Brady who are being told by Tom Brady, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm going somewhere else. Like, that's the way that we're operating here within those circles. And yet even those people don't necessarily believe that Tom, at the end of the day, won't go into Bill Belichick's office and Belichick won't sit there and say to him, Tom, we need you back. We have to have you back. And that Tom Brady will return to the Patriots. We need to wrap our minds around the fact that it is far more likely than not that Tom Brady will not be back with the Patriots. I am now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady returns to the Patriots.
Jeff Darlington's covered the NFL for a long time, and Shefty also retweeted what he had to say. So
I don't think he makes that comment unless he has had people tell him that Tom has said that this is a very real possibility.
It's sort of like reporting it without reporting
yes,
it, right?
Exactly. And look, I like you still believe that Tom Brady will go back to New England. If I was a gambling man, which I'm not for the next 39 days, I would expect him to go back to New England. I have, though, kind of accepted that this is a more real possibility than I initially thought it would be. And I don't know, maybe I'm just getting sucked in by the game that is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the ultimate face-off. Not sure.
Well, we always cite the guys at the end of their career who end up playing for someone else, like Jordan and Gretzky.
It happens.
And Montana. But, like, look at the modern athlete recently. Just when you think LeBron is going to stay in Cleveland, he goes, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Just when you think he loves it in South Beach, he says, I'm leaving you, Pat Riley, and I'm going back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he's like, okay, now I'm going to the Lakers. Look at Kevin Durant. He had something good in Oklahoma City. He's like, you know what? I'm going to the Warriors. And then when he won it with Golden State, he's like, you know what? I'm going to Brooklyn. So, I mean, I don't know if we should be surprised with anybody going anywhere anymore. Should we?
No, you're right. I think those are all good points. I've just always felt my rationale for thinking Tom Brady was going to stay in New England is I think it's the best situation for both teams. And look, I think if Tom Brady goes to the Colts or if Tom Brady goes to the Titans, he could end up having a good run with them. I think if Tom Brady goes to the Raiders or goes to the Chargers, he'll get paid a ton. I don't think he's going to find himself hoisting another Lombardi trophy with either of those teams.
Would you like Belichick's chances without Brady or Brady's chances better wherever he winds up?
It depends on where Brady winds up. I mean, like if Brady goes to the Raiders, the Raiders aren't going to win anything, are they?
Well, but will they be better than the Patriots? Without Tom Brady, who will their quarterback
well,
be?
Well, I'll take my chances with a Bill Belichick team.
Yeah, I will.
And I like John Gruden. I think John Gruden, we saw John Gruden game plan against a good defense.
Those would be good fights, wouldn't they, too? Like
yeah.
When they don't get along, Brady frustrated walking off the field, Gruden frustrating standing the way he stands, and then them start yelling at each other.
That'd be great. But, I mean, look, the Bills have become a better football team, but overall, that's a crappy division as it always is.
Miami and the Jets?
Yes. And look who the Raiders have. Would Tom Brady make the Raiders a bigger threat? Yeah, but they're still the worst team in that division. Well, I'll take them over to Denver, but maybe Denver improves. Denver's defense was really good this year for the majority of the time. So it's a good question. Who would you rather, who would get better odds to what? Get to the postseason or win a Super Bowl?
Or have the better record, even.
Well, I'd go with the Patriots.
You would?
Yeah,
I think I would go with Brady because I think the teams, even though the Raiders aren't great, they would be better. They're going to be a 500 team at least, wouldn't they, with Brady?
Same with
the Chargers?
But without Tom Brady, you know, that gives the Patriots a chance to upgrade themselves in other areas.
Yeah.
You're still the best coached team in football. You have the number one defense in football, although you will have a couple of your free agents on that side of the football may leave. I think Kyle Van Noy is a free agent. I think one of the McCourty brothers is a free agent as well. So you've got some holes to fill there, but
he's always got holes to fill, and he usually fills it.
Right. And listen, I don't know who Jared Stidham would be with the Patriots, but what if the Patriots went with Andy Dalton
or somebody else? Or Derek Carr or Tannehill.
That's my point. So
Jacoby Brissett goes back.
Let me ask you that question.
Maybe he drafts Jalen Hurts.
Okay, if Tom Brady goes to the Raiders and Bill Belichick says, okay, that's fine, I'm going to go with name the guy, whoever it is. I'm going to ride with the Patriots.
You will.
Yeah.
It's a good poll question. If you want to react, 312-332-3776. Here's the Bear stuff. And tell me if this is even news. Jeremy Fowler tweeted this. Jeremy's a reporter, used to cover the Steelers. He's now one of the NFL insiders for us at ESPN. And he's in Indianapolis. An hour ago, he tweeted, strong sense here in Indy. The Bears will be looking to add an established veteran quarterback to push starter Mitch Trubisky, likely looking for pedigree and extensive starters experience.
Pedigree means what? Like, would you suggest that Case Keenum has pedigree? Like, he's taken his team to the postseason, but he's had an up-and-down run? I mean, I don't know how many guys with tremendous pedigree are going to be available. Andy Dalton took the Bengals to 5 straight playoff appearances, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, we came up with 4 guys that we think, because if we're dissecting what Pace wants, Pace still wants Mitch to grow and to be their guy, but he wants a quarterback just in case, but not good enough to beat out Mitch, but good enough to push Mitch. So, you know, he can't be.
That's Marcus Mariota or Case Keenum to me.
Or Andy Dalton Alex Smith.
I think Andy Dalton of those guys is the best of the three.
Now, Andy Dalton, remember, Bill Lazor, you pointed out yesterday, was, I don't know if they had a good relationship, but he used to be the Bengals offensive coordinator when Dalton was the starter.
How much is Dalton going to cost you? Because they would have to either trade him or release him.
Right.
And I think most people believe he's going to be released eventually because no one's going to give up compensation.
Wait him out. I don't know. And do the Bears want to strike early before they release? So think about all these. Dalton, the connection is Bill Lazor. He's now their offensive coordinator. And Dalton's a guy who could still be good enough to rescue you, but maybe he was benched during the year. He'd be willing to just be in a competition. I don't know. So there's a connection. Alex Smith, if healthy, there's the Matt Nagy connection.
Well, Nick Foles also has a connection. And I was reading an article yesterday that says, yes, he's got a monster contract, amongst other things. But I believe that contract, if you traded for him, you would basically be assuming about $16 million. And then that's all the guarantee. And then the following years of that monster contract, you could actually just get out.
So it's like paying him year to year.
I think it would be.
Because they took the hit for the bonus.
If I read the article correctly, if you made the trade for Nick Foles, you would basically be on the hook for 1 year, $16 million of that contract. He's got options, or the last 2 years are at like 21 and 22. But I don't believe there's any guaranteed money. And if I'm not mistaken, you can get out from underneath it. So if you're playing the connection game,
right,
then I would think that Nick Foles at $16 million.
Foles has followed DeFilippo and has had success under DeFilippo, and he's now their quarterback's coach.
I thought that Nick Foles was going to be too cost prohibitive based on the contract he signed with Jacksonville. But the article I read kind of painted a little bit different picture, but you'd have to trade
for him. Ooh, all of a sudden my second round pick in our bad quarterback draft looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Huh?
I never thought it was that bad.
Waddle was laughing at me. Yeah. He thought it was too much money.
So I've got five
guys. And then I educated
guys.
Myself. So I spoke, and then I read, which is probably the reverse of what you should do.
So I've got Keenum, Alex Smith, if healthy, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, who fit that category.
Do you have any of those guys, Abdallah?
Where you're buying low where they wouldn't start.
But who's got those guys?
He's got Mariota.
Oh, you got Mariota?
Mariota was our first pick.
I got Case Keenum. You've got Andy Dalton, right, Sylvie? And Meller's got Nick Foles.
And Alex Smith.
I don't think Alex Smith can happen. But I think it'd be more likely that Nick
Smith
Foles would
be that's a release thing. That's a play in the Redskins releasing him.
Yes. Yeah.
Marco in North Riverside, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marco?
Hey, guys. It's the old adage, right? If you have two okay quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
Correct.
But I think when they're talking about a pedigree, it might not be winning, but it might be somebody that was a first or second round pick that might have had some nagging injuries, maybe didn't have all the right weapons and needs to change the scenery. So I really like the Mariota look. And then listening to you guys talk about Nick Foles, that actually kind of gets me a little bit more excited because we never gave our backup quarterback a chance with Cutler. It was always Cutler had the keys to the Ferrari and there's nothing we can do about it. With this mindset here, we kind of give ourselves a little bit of hope that if it doesn't work out, we have something
Marco,
we can rely on.
You just described why it could potentially work if the Bears were going to be really bold and wanted to move on from Mitch. Because former first round pick with the first round pedigree was the highest rated quarterback in that draft, according to everyone that wants to defend Ryan Pace for making the play always cites, well, he was the number one on everybody's board. Well, maybe they think that year one was just him in a bad offense. Maybe year two, oh, we liked what we saw. Year three, Matt Nagy didn't give him a running game and didn't call the plays that fit his style. Listen, it's the NFL. There is somebody out there that probably would love the opportunity to try to coach up Mitch. No?
Yeah, but Jeremy Fowler does say that the strong sense here in Indy is the Bears will be looking to add an established veteran quarterback to push starter Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, you know how I feel. I think Mitch is Ryan's married to Mitch. I'm just saying for anyone that would say how in the world could you possibly, would be anyone be interested in Mitch? I think the answer to that question would be yes, it's the NFL. Everyone thinks that they can get more out of someone than the previous team did.
All right, what does Dan Wiederer think? Who would he gamble on to become the guy, this Mitch pusher? Is that what we're describing him as? The Bears are looking for a Mitch pusher. Dan will fill us in next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Let's talk to Dan Wiederer, who's been in Indianapolis the last few days. Writes for the Tribune. You hear him a lot here on ESPN 1000. We were telling you about Jeremy Fowler's report about the Bears looking for this veteran with pedigree, extensive starting. Like, how good do they want him? Do they want him to lose? Do they want a guy who they would look at Hallis Hall and say, whoa, this guy's better. You know, are they accepting of that? Is that what they're looking for? Or do they want that middle guy who they think is good enough to start some games still, but Mitch will beat out? Dan joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Dan, we have come up with five names, okay, with who we think fit the bill for this description of what the Bears are looking for. Tell me if you agree or disagree with these guys. Case Keenum, Alex Smith, healthy, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. All five of those are the menu, the type of tier that you're going to be choosing off of. That is going to be the kind of guy they are going after. Now, sounds like you've backed down now from pulling Andrew Luck out of retirement, from getting Tom Brady out of Boston. Maybe they could go get Peyton Manning out of somewhere else, and they could...
Well, he stopped drinking at about 3:45, and we took the bottle away from him.
Well, but wait a minute, Dan. Wouldn't you, if Tom Brady went to Indy, let's say he signed there...
Tap, slow down.
You're about
to get ejected.
I mean, you wouldn't just put in a call to Andrew Luck to see if he's happy in retirement?
I'd call everybody who's ever played the position at a high level.
Well, the Colts are going to call him before you do.
Jackass.
The need is that big. Eli Manning, let's call him while we're at it. I was just telling Abdallah, they could get Peyton and Eli in there. At least they could create a structure in the room that would give Mitch some more mentors to learn from, and then there'd just be like nine people talking to him every day, and we could get this thing off the ground.
There you go. How much is their budget? How much do you think they'll be willing to spend to add to this position, Dan? Because those guys would come at different costs.
Yeah, I think they're determined to get this position right, and I don't think that cost is going to be a deterrent for them. I think that they want to win football games, and while they are holding out hope that they can get a breakthrough from Trubisky, a long-awaited breakthrough from Trubisky, I think there is a sense of reality that has crept in Hallis Hall, where they have to now look at this through the lens of who would we want to start games for us in October, right, if that is the case, right? And that's a very realistic possibility. We can all acknowledge that as a real possibility, that the short leash that Mitch is on may get very, very short by the time the first month of the NFL season calendar flips over. And so you've got to go and address that so you don't squander a season with a team that has pieces in place to contend for playoff berth. And so I expect them to be very aggressive to put themselves in as many conversations as they can to try to get this thing right. And as you guys know and have talked about for weeks, there's dominoes that have to fall before that. And so that's why this is so interesting, because this game of musical chairs doesn't start really, for one, until the new CBA does or doesn't get ratified, and then you look at what the Patriots do with Brady, and then all of it sort of trickles down from there. So it's going to be an interesting month ahead for us here.
The reason I ask is because the more you spend on the quarterback, the less you have already in a tight cap situation, the less you have to spend on guys around said quarterback. And anyone you're looking to spend money on is going to be someone that is going to need help around them. They're not entire difference makers. So your offensive line, your tight end position, and even, you know, you're going to have to fill some holes on defense. So if you're spending $15-16 million on a quarterback, how will that impact them in terms of getting better in other spots?
Yeah, and Tommy, this is what you hear around the league through the week in Indianapolis. It's sort of this, boy, they are in a less than ideal situation because of what happened with the guy that they drafted number two overall. You're now in a pickle because of all the things you just mentioned. You have to go readdress this position with resources that ideally you would be spending elsewhere, but you have to get this position stable before you even think about doing anything else, because if this position is unstable and undependable and erratic every week, none of it, anything else matters. And so they are in a bind here, and that's just the reality for the 2020 Chicago Bears, and now it's up to Ryan Pace and his staff and Matt Nagy and his staff to put these pieces together and try to get it held together so that this thing doesn't become the latest cycle in Bears mediocrity where they're just spinning their wheels in the mud and never getting anywhere.
All right, if you thought Sylvie was crazy, how about this one? What is the possibility? I know it's going to be a small one. Is there any chance that Matt has convinced Ryan to move off of Mitch and possibly deal Mitch to bring in somebody else?
I don't see that at this juncture. No, I don't see that at this juncture. Now, you'd also have to have a taker for that.
Right.
And I don't know that there are folks lining up for that right now. It was very interesting to hear some of the sentiments from around the league. This is a good week to sort of get that finger on the pulse of how the rest of the league thinks about the Bears, right? And we had this discussion all fall on, is it Matt? Is it Mitch? Is it a combination of both? Where does the percentage lie? For me, the folks that I talked to throughout the week, the consensus was much more strongly on the side of there is optimism to believe that Matt will experience a breakthrough and be able to get this thing on track, much less optimism that Mitch will be able to. And so that's what this thing looks like. And so I don't think there's going to be a lot of folks calling up and saying, hey, we really want Trubisky. That would be a you know, late desperation insurance plan, and I don't necessarily think that's realistic.
Dan, you had a chance to sit down with Nagy. You also heard what he said to the mass media. Did he give you any indicators that you could read between the lines and you could kind of see that he has a lack of confidence in Mitch at all?
Well, I mean, I think those indicators have been present for a while. That I don't know that I would necessarily describe it as a lack of confidence as much as I would use his words. He said there's a highly elevated urgency, that this is now Mitch's fourth season, his third in the system. Another quote from Nagy was, it's time. His patience has run out. It's just time to see results. And so I appreciate that Matt's not running from this, that he's not putting his head in the sand, that he's not trying to give the masses an everything is okay sort of pep talk, right? He knows that last year was a disaster, that an offense that finished in the bottom five in so many major categories was broken, and he doesn't have the tolerance and the patience to see that happen again. And so he's setting the right tone, in my opinion, here in February, and the right demands, and trying to create an environment where it's understood that it's time to produce, or it's time to move on. And so I think that is the stage setter for what we're about to see. And then now, again, you're going to bring in a second quarterback here in the next month, and now you've got that challenge of creating a quarterback's room that can, you know, coexist productively, but also competitively in a way that if Mitch does wobble, that next guy is ready in a cutthroat frame of mind to take that job and own it for the rest of the year. And that hasn't been present really at any time in Mitch's career here.
Dan, the quotes I was reading from Matt, and by the way, he seemed very excited. I wonder if he was excited when you were talking with him. But I'm glad that he's excited. I heard a guy that I think was willing to admit it wasn't his best effort, and a guy that was also willing to say, look, it's not fair to guys to try to make them play in my system. I've got to do the better job of adjusting my system to the guys I have. Do you feel that, like, there was times this year when Sylvie and I would look at each other and go, what the hell is he doing with Mitch now? Get him on the edge and do what he does best. Do you get the sense that 2020 will be Matt changing his philosophy on being strict about making guys do it his way?
Yeah, I think he's flexible and he's ready to adapt, and that he has trust in this new offensive staff that he's put together, and that there's going to be an exchange of ideas and a lack of, you know, rigidity and bullheadedness on his part to understand that I've got to be able to adapt to strengths. Now, the counter argument to this is, you know, we talked about this when he joined us on our podcast earlier in the week, that those who say, you know, the system doesn't fit what the quarterback does, Matt's counter argument is some variation of this system won two of the last three Super Bowls, right? And so there are quarterbacks that can use this system, understand the system, make plays in the system, and take their team to high levels. And so it's not about blowing it up. It's about making tweaks to certain parts of the scheme. It's about in-game understanding what play calls fit the situation and the personnel that's on the field. And so Matt's got to learn in that department. This is only his third year as a head coach. It's time for him, too. There's an urgency for him to show that he can excel in that role. He was brought here to take the offense to the next level, to take the quarterback to the next level, and in that category, he has failed to this point. And so he's got to show that he can do the things to adapt as well, and now he's got to get help around him. And I think he feels very rejuvenated, and that was obvious in every exchange we had with him this week, and that there is a sense that this staff can help bring a new set of eyes to everything that went wrong last year, and a sort of a detached set of eyes that say, hey, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. This play call here doesn't fit what the defense is showing us, what the situation was. And so there's a bit of a learning experience going on right now. And Matt really thrives in that sort of study environment where he's trying to figure out what went wrong, what went right, and how can we get this thing pointed in the right direction for next season.
Before we let you go, Dan, give us a couple of nuggets that you found out in Indy, and I also want you to tell us if you're hearing anything about a big name free agent the Bears could be after.
So this is a strange year because the start of free agency has been pushed back later than it normally is, and so there's a much larger gap between the combine and the start of the league year than there normally is. And so that has quieted a lot of the chatter that usually exists in Indianapolis when the agents and the teams are getting together and they're getting a little bit further along in the discussions. It was very quiet this week, and it was almost eerily so because everybody's just kind of waiting to see what's coming in the next few weeks. The Bears obviously need tight ends, right? And so it's going to be very interesting to see how the free agent market plays out. Obviously Austin Hooper's a guy that the Falcons said this week they're going to let him test the waters. I would expect the Bears to be involved in conversations there. I would also expect that the Falcons to do every single thing within their power to take whatever offer Austin Hooper gets on the open market and match it, because he's so important to them as well. And so it's going to be interesting in the coming weeks to see where they go with this thing. And it might be another year where it's not a big splash year for the Bears in free agency. And then you're just left kind of waiting to see who quarterback number two is, and then what they can do with whatever draft capital they have in April, which again, doesn't include a first round pick. And so sort of the intrigue in the draft class this week was minimized as well, because the Bears aren't picking until number 43.
Good stuff, Dan. As always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
There you go. Dan Weider from the Tribune on the Corona Hotline. We always love more Jerry Jones stuff. The guys somehow, some way, have found this story. Uh-oh. Jerry Jones is thinking about this in the shower, and it may surprise you.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We never got like the prediction from Dan Weider on who he thinks they're going to get as quarterback to.
Right.
Who do you? I just texted him. I go, who is your main prediction?
I think he will say, the way he talked about the certainty with which they are, I'm going to say Nick Foles. But yeah, that'll cost a pick.
Yeah, probably late round pick, right? He throws those around like they're nothing.
Well, yeah, because you're going to be offering the Jags some salary relief.
Right.
If you know, so I don't think it's going to be more than a fifth.
Who is your prediction of what Weider said?
Who Weider is predicting?
This is Weider's prediction on who they sign as QB2.
I had two thoughts, so I gave you Nick Foles.
Right. It's a good guess.
Dalton.
It's Dalton.
That was the other one.
Dalton.
I think Dalton's going to be the harder one to land, though. Because
really? Who do you think will be chasing Dalton?
No. Waddle mentioned it earlier. If Brady leaves the Pats, I think Dalton's going to be a Patriot.
Yeah, there's been talk about that. But you know what? Maybe they would bring Nick Foles to New England too. I don't know. I don't know what Bill Belichick's thinking.
Yeah. All right. So then there's this Jerry Jones story, which I know nothing about. I was told by Meller and Abdallah that Jerry Jones is thinking about stuff in the shower and telling people about it.
Settle down just a little bit.
Where did this come up? At the combine? How did this come up? Do we have audio of this?
No, there's no audio yet, but Abdallah can fill us in a little more on the details. He's a little more apprised of the Jerry Jones story and what Jerry Jones thinks about in the shower.
So Jerry Jones met the media on his RV, basically, is what
What's he call his RV? It's got to have a name.
I just almost got suspended.
Send me a text. I need to know what you were thinking.
But I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning.
So basically, he's in there and he held court for about an hour and 20 minutes. And the
An hour and 20 minutes?
Inside his own RV.
Inside his own RV with the members of the media that he wanted to. The Cowboys media, whoever, I guess, wanted to be there. And
I like your attitude, dude.
It
would be fascinating if he was our owner, wouldn't it?
I want to know the name of his RV. You know it's got a name.
Oh, yeah, it's
the Jack Mobile. Miss Kitty? You know what? It's the Miss Kitty.
He probably calls it Jason Witten.
That's pretty good.
Witten.
Watch guys come on Witten. In, Jason Witten. Watch come on in, Witten.
Settle down just a little bit.
No jacket in the car.
Excuse me?
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
He doesn't want anybody he's there to answer the questions.
You gotta figure this out.
I mean, we're not going with your question.
I'm gonna Google
it. Jason Garrett related to him, maybe?
Oh, that's good. He had to rename it after Jason Garrett recently.
So the topic of Dez Bryant coming back, because he wants to play and he wants to come back and play for the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones says, I've been thinking about it in the shower.
What?
I've been thinking about it a lot, giving a lot of thought to it. I've been thinking about it in the shower.
Settle down just a little bit.
It's where I do my deepest thinking.
Hmm?
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Anywhere in the day, it's usually what I think about, like what's on my mind most. while I'm in the shower. Don't you guys? Do you guys have deep thoughts in the shower?
No.
Deep thoughts?
I don't stay in the shower for very long.
I know. We talked about this.
Yeah. Oh, I got a name. I got a name.
All right. Is it after a football player?
It is not. It's not named after an individual.
Oh, you have the actual name?
Yes.
This is far less fun. It's more fun than
okay,
say.
Well, I'll give you what the real name is, and then you can decide what would be a better name without getting suspended.
We're not playing very well.
No, that's not the name of it. Take a guess.
Three rings.
You won't get it.
Three rings.
Nope.
I think I just saw it, so.
It's called The Elegant Lady.
The Elegant Lady?
Yes, that's what the name of his bus is, The Elegant Lady. Would you like to know the name of his yacht?
Yeah, those are usually more fun, aren't they?
This yacht's bigger than Jimmy Johnson's.
I've got a bigger Johnson.
I don't have the patience to jack.
Ooh, is it Jimmy Yachtson?
Oh, John! What is his yacht? That yacht's got to be outstanding.
Do you know, I mean, first of all, it's a $250 million yacht.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
That's like a that. That's like a Succession yacht.
You can land a helicopter on it, like that, right?
Yeah. Well, what's his helicopter's name then, too?
What is the yacht name?
It's named after his wife.
Okay. A lot of people
it's
do that.
It's his yacht, the Bravo Eugenia.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people name their boats after their wives.
357 feet long. Features two helipads. It costs $250 million.
What else? Like, there aren't many things that cost $250 million.
Jerry Jones docked his yacht in Miami for the Super Bowl. And wouldn't you know, his yacht makes all the other yachts that were docked at the look puny.
Of course it does.
I guarantee you his yacht's better than the McCaskey yacht.
My yacht
Bravo
makes your yacht
Eugenia.
Look puny.
Puny.
You have a puny
you
yacht.
You have a puny boat. You cannot park your boat next to mine.
So anyway, Jerry Jones is thinking about Des Bryant.
George comes up in a robo.
He's got one of those jet skis.
No, he's got one of those boats that look like a swan.
No,
that you pedal.
They got a jet ski.
the paddle boat.
It's just like a. Do you
Him
think
in Virginia are paddle? They're pedaling.
Do you think
Mom, paddle harder?
Do you think you know how we were talking the whole time about how they were dragging their feet, deciding on whether or not they were going to let Jason Garrett go. It seemed to drag on for a while.
Yeah, forever.
Do you
like a
think
week.
He was discussing with Jason Garrett reassigning him to man his yacht instead of being his head coach?
Yacht coach. Yacht man.
Can you see George coming into Miami on a jet ski that says bear down on the back of it? Just popping waves coming in.
It's too cool. The jet ski. George wouldn't be on a jet ski.
Come on. I know George would ride a jet ski.
Yeah.
In that leather jacket with the bears emblem on it.
Oh, yeah. He's riding it in street clothes like Kenny Powers.
We love you, George.
Just ghost rides it into the dock and just gets up and walks
Jerry
off.
With this $250 million.
Get that jet ski away from Bravo Eugenia.
And then Mitch and Ryan Pace come off on a tandem jet ski. And together.
Yeah.
They're in the paddle boat that looks like a swan.
Because in those jet skis.
I think Mitch is driving.
Who's driving?
Mitch is driving the
Ryan's
jet ski.
Holding on?
Yeah. That's how I picture it.
Mitch has floaties on.
But their hair's blowing in the wind. How did we get it? Did we find out what he was thinking about in the shower yet?
Settle down
Des
just Bryant. A little bit.
Oh, Des Bryant.
Bringing Des Bryant back.
Don't watch
you think about Des Bryant in the shower?
No, but I do. I'm telling you, like, where do you think the most? Like, where
I try
is
not
it driving?
To. It's like reading. Oh, I try not to do it. I don't read and I try not to think.
Don't you have deep thoughts in a place ever?
I don't usually have deep thoughts.
For a while, it's on the pot. That's where he spends most of his time.
No, he's on his phone then.
Yeah, no, Deep thoughts, not in the shower. I don't stay in the shower very long. In the car, driving downtown, but I'm usually listening to country music.
I'm usually in the shower thinking, what the hell is Cap talking about?
Are you listening?
I have the ESPN Chicago app waddle on my phone right outside the shower. I can listen to it whilst I shower.
Do you guys not have a shower speaker?
I don't.
No. Oh, did you have to get a Bluetooth shower speaker that just connects?
In the water?
It's a little Bluetooth speaker that connects right to your phone. They have them for like $20.
We have a speaker in the bathroom, right, not a shower.
Sonos speaker.
Yeah. Okay. So you're covered.
Yeah. All right.
That mine doesn't connect to my Bluetooth for some reason. I don't know why.
What does George think about in the shower?
George McCaskey?
Yes. Would you like Jerry Jones to be your team's owner? Like, nothing against George. I'm not asking you
settle
to
down just a little bit.
I'm just saying, in general.
Well, have you had the chance to go to AT&T Stadium?
Oh, not yet. No, I want to.
It is unfreaking.
You saw a concert there.
Yes, it is unbelievable.
And he tells you everything, but it's his show.
Well, he's going to meddle.
A lot to go over. Now, going with your question.
So
I mean,
but
they spend money.
I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning.
In his hour and 20-minute meeting with the media, he talked about possibly moving the. He said that they could host a quote hell of a combine, but he can't comment on whether or not he'd like to move it there because it's like you can't.
Did you see where the draft is going to be next year? I think.
Well, tell us coming up next, okay. And then also a lot of fun, and you got to listen to this.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, so which city will the NFL draft be in a year or two?
I had some faulty information. Next year it's going to be Cleveland. This year it's Vegas. Next year it's going to be Cleveland. There was a story that Green Bay had landed the 2022 draft. But Mark Murphy has since issued a statement saying the NFL has not awarded the 2022 draft to the Packers or any other club at this time. But we remain aggressively committed with members of our community to bringing a draft to Green Bay in either 2022 or beyond. So Green
Packers
Bay
suck.
Is looking to host the draft very soon.
Thoughts on that?
Sounds like a live show broadcast for a while.
Like you would be great for us and our teammates.
Yes. Yeah. But is that really? I mean, I know it's quaint. It's cool.
It's going to be in Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland's a metropolis. It's still a metropolis. Like, that's all of the NFL.
Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. But,
I mean, of all of
is
the
there
iconic
accommodations
NFL,
in Green Bay?
You know, teams, franchises, Green Bay's there. That
think
I don't
about
know.
All the media that go. I think about all the teams that have representation.
In Cleveland, you can actually do shows from the mall that Time Forgot.
Right, that's true.
So I'm not sure. The Green Bay's looking to do it. Maybe they just try to, you know, they size it down a little bit. I don't know.
Vegas will be cool. Yeah.
Vegas will be good.
So Nashville has been really good. And Chicago started it all, but it's totally grown since then.
Can you imagine if the Packers, the Green Bay, landed the one after Vegas? Because for Vegas, they're going to be taking boats out to the stage at the Bellagio Fountain, right? That's
someone's
the plan.
Someone's going to fall.
Yeah, so of course there's no they question. Are. There's no question. It's not going to go well.
But think about the juxtaposition. You've got the Vegas draft, and then the year following...
You got the Cleveland draft.
You're going to be handed like a wheel of cheese from Goodell.
No, see, it'd be great. It'd be better if it was in the winter and like you had to four-wheeler or like snowmobile them out there.
Well, you may have to. You could get a spring storm.
It was terrible here, wasn't it, a couple of years ago when we had
it? The second draft, it was really it was raining hard, I think.
Rainy and cold. Remember, weren't they all complaining that they had to do it from Grant Park?
Yeah.
So, in Green Bay's... It's not any better, that's for sure. It's worse up there.
Packers suck!
Yes, they do. How about this story, too? Meller sent this to all of us. How many complaints did the FCC get for the Super Bowl halftime show?
1,300?
1,300 complaints. Someone said, I think in the report, they said it's the most complaints since the Janet Jackson halftime.
The wardrobe malfunction?
Yes.
I'm not
Justin
surprised.
Timberlake.
And nor do I believe the NFL is bothered by it. I think that they take the complaints. They probably issued, well, we're sorry that you feel that way, and then they just moved on with their day.
I still stand by what I said, that I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah, I have no problem.
I had no problem with it. I liked it. It was a good representation of a good halftime show.
I don't think anybody is going to boycott the Super Bowl next year. Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, remember, the halftime show outdraws the Super Bowl. The highest rated part of the Super Bowl is at halftime.
Well, was there any? I mean, I think the year before wasn't a shirtless Adam Levine running around flaunting himself.
Is that what happened the year before?
I thought so.
When was Bruno Mars? Wasn't he recent?
He was within the last 3 or 4 years.
I remember, too. We had Adam Levine
and Maroon 5 were.
Were they with Lady Gaga? When did Lady Gaga jump off the side of the building? Like they,
yeah, that
they made
was,
it look like she jumped off the side of the building.
3 years ago.
I was not a big fan of that. That didn't really.
No, I like Lady Gaga.
Red Hot Chili Peppers did one. And that's when they, because none of their instruments were plugged in. Remember, people were mad that they were like, they weren't actually playing.
We can
playing.
All agree that the Prince halftime show, the best or no?
Yeah, easily.
It was the Bears Super Bowl, the last time the Bears were in the Super Bowl.
Bears and he was and singing Purple Rain, and it was raining.
Right.
It was
the late
special.
Great Prince, yeah. The only person who ever gives you a bad look when you bring up Prince is Marcin Greco.
Because they took his channel for a month and when Prince passed away and played only Prince music. And I listened to that channel pretty much for the entirety of the month. Well, then, and he couldn't have anything nice to say about it.
That's probably still a little known fact about you is how big of a Prince fan you
huge
are.
Growing up, yeah.
Like, did you ever go see him in L.A.? Weren't you really close to seeing Prince?
Yes, I was going to see him with my buddy Fran Charles at the old Forum at one point, but Fran decided that his wife would be a better date than I would.
Oh,
so he took his wife to the concert instead of me.
Did he give you a sort of invite?
He said maybe. He said maybe, you know what, if my wife decides that she doesn't want to go, then you know what, I got a ticket for you. And I was like, all right, I'm in.
Oh, that's a terrible thing.
Well,
half invite that never materialized.
I finished runner up.
You were like the Pro Bowl alternate.
I was.
Except everybody wants to go.
Exactly.
Instead of no one.
So
wants
I didn't
to
get
go.
A chance to go. But you know, I would have had his wife decided not to go. I was going.
Yeah.
At the old Forum.
Yeah. All right. So you've got your Blackhawks quarter zip on.
Yeah. They're playing
the Lightning tonight.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
And you believe
they're
a huge underdog,
aren't they?
Waddle. Yeah. They were +190. Waddle believes that he's been the bad luck since he started watching. As soon as they got close, just like last year. They are 0-11 in games that Waddle has watched from start to finish.
Yes.
+190 is good value, Waddle. I don't know if you want to jump on?
I'm not gambling. I'm not gambling anymore.
But that's a lot of good. That's a lot of value.
My wife is standing right there. Do not tell her how many times we have lost on soccer parlays.
I don't remember us ever losing.
Over the last
couple of we would have won today if you. I'm the only one that won today because you didn't want to get in on it.
You're quitting gambling. It's disappointing.
I'm giving it up.
You're setting a terrible example for the youth.
I'm making a sacrifice for Lent.
Okay.
So now make fun of that.
Every day on this show, Waddle's been gambling and talking about soccer, then having this play in for this parlay or this teaser.
Every now and again,
and
I'll
now
make
he
an,
dropped
a game.
This bombshell on us that he's not going to gamble for 40 days.
What if you gamble every day for 40 days and donate the winnings
to the church?
Boom. What would Jesus do then, son?
WWJD.
Son?
He'd be pleased.
Yeah, he would
be. But there's no guarantee. If you're saying
you
what I need to do,
maybe.
Okay, maybe this is right. So I'm going to gamble for the church.
Yes.
So the amount of money I win over the next 40 days.
We're going to.
I'm going to take the proceeds.
Yes.
And I'm going to donate it to the church that I go to, St. Mary's in Lake Forest.
This is a true mission right here.
Okay, but if I lose.
Well, then, sorry, kids.
Okay, but if we win, I get my initial investment out and I only donate the profit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
of course.
We could work on that.
Feed the starving children.
That could work.
You want to start on the Blackhawks tonight? +190.
I think you guarantee the church a minimum of $1,000 donation.
How many units are we betting here?
How many parlays are we going to win?
5 units here? Come on now.
Did I not tell you the story? I put my hand in my pocket last night and I found $1 in my pocket?
I'm talking like
I had to ask my wife for $40 to come to work today?
I'm talking about throwing $20 on the Blackhawks tonight.
She's looking at me now like, oh, that's what the money was. I owed Adam $33 for a soccer bet that went south.
Plus 197. Come on, Waddle. Let's throw 20 bucks on it. 20 bucks each.
Did you ever get...
I'm in. Yeah, for the church.
For the church.
For the church.
Oh, wow.
He's for the church.
We have flipped Waddle.
He's back.
We have flipped Waddle after he said he's giving up gambling
but
for
I'm,
Lent.
Now I'm actually gambling for the church.
Only Waddle.
He's back. It only took 4 hours.
And if we lose and there are no proceeds...
Sorry,
I'll
kids.
Still make a donation.
Parlays for the parish.
$1,000 minimum.
No. Did you see what happened to the Dow the last 3 days?
I know. Jay Williams will lead off the post game. He had big Bulls thoughts, so you'll want to stay tuned. 2 minutes for that. Barstool Big Cat was awesome. Dan Weeder as well. Northwestern in Illinois up at 6:45. That's a good game. Thank you to Adam Abdallah and Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
It's the classic.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.